In 2011, Sally Challen was sent to jail for 22 years for the murder of her husband, Richard. Her lawyers were back in court today, hoping to get her murder sentence reduced to manslaughter. They argued that she suffered decades of psychological abuse from her husband, and at the time of her trial, the effects of coercive control were not fully understood. Reporting for LBC live from the Royal Courts of Justice in London, Rachel Venables.
Eddie, there were scenes of jubilation here in court today from Sally Challen's friends, family and supporters as the judge ruled her 8-year-old conviction for murder would be quashed. Then she added that there would be a retrial ordered for as soon as possible. Sally was beamed in. We could see her on court via a video link. You could see her face up on two big television screens. She was wiping her eyes and hugging the people who were with her when she heard this news. Now, to give a bit of background, Sally from Claygate in Surrey killed her abusive husband of 40 years in their home back in 2010. She first cooked him dinner and then struck him more than 20 times on the head with a hammer. Now, she admitted killing 61-year-old Richard in August 2010, but denied murder. That didn't swing the jury, though. The mum of two was convicted in June 2011 of murder, and she was ordered to serve a minimum of 22 years. That was later, though, reduced to 18 years on appeal. Now, though, as I say, we know she will face a retrial, and it was after her lawyers were here at the appeal court asking judges to reduce her conviction to manslaughter. The judge said today that the opinion of one consultant forensic psychiatrist was that the appellant, that's Sally Challen, was suffering from two mental disorders at the time of the killing. That evidence was not available at the time of the trial, and so the court quashed the conviction and has ordered a retrial. An application for her to be released on bail today was denied.
Rachel Venables reporting for LBC from outside the Royal Courts of Justice. We expect more reaction to what's happened in court in the course of the next hour, and we will bring it to you. I want to talk more now about coercive control. Two things to say. First of all, proceedings are active now in the retrial of Sally Challen. There are reporting restrictions, and at no point in the course of the programme are we going to talk about her case in detail, because that's not our business, that's the business of the law. But as I said, her legal team put forward the case that coercive control was not properly understood previously. Indeed, the law was changed in 2015, and we're going to talk more about that. What I'm interested in, and we'll have some conversations about this in the next few minutes, is what your experience of coercive control might have been. I hope, obviously, you haven't suffered it, and goodness knows it must be a terrible thing to talk about. But if you or someone you know has suffered coercive control, this thing which it is argued was not fully understood less than 10 years ago, what was your experience or the experience of the person you cared about? And what should we all understand about coercive control? 0345 606 0973. As I say, a terribly difficult thing to talk about, and maybe no one will want to talk about it. But we're told it's terribly widespread and sometimes misunderstood. And the best way of understanding these things, in my experience, is to hear from people who've been through it. If that's you, or if it's someone you know and care about, I'd like to hear from you. 0345 606 0973. Obviously, we wouldn't use your name if you didn't want to, and those details are less important than experience. You can also text 84850 or tweet at LBC. Call me on 0345 606 0973 on this topic of coercive control, which is back in the news tonight. And let me turn now to Rachel Horman, who's a specialist domestic abuse solicitor and director of Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors. Thanks very much for joining us tonight, Rachel.
Thank you.
You campaigned for a change in the law. Tell me about that experience, first of all.
Well, yes, we mounted a campaign with the charity that I'm the chair of, Paladin, which is the National Stalking Advocacy Service. And the reason that we did that is because we saw parallels with the behaviour that stalkers were exhibiting after parties had separated, which was a criminal offence. And we were hearing from victims reporting very similar behaviour during a relationship. And when they went to the police about that, they were told by the police that there was nothing that they could do. So there was this gap in the law, which led to our our campaign, which was successful, and the legislation came into effect in December 2015.
What should we understand from my much more limited understanding than you is that coercive control takes all sorts of forms. Can you give us a guide as to what sort of things it covers?
Yes, so it's not defined, and that's intentional, because if you do a list of behaviour, somebody will just do something that isn't on the list, and it's very targeted to the individual. So the perpetrator will target the weakness or the fear of the individual victim. But some of the examples that I have dealt with personally, I had a client before the legislation who was forced to eat all of her meals from a dog bowl on the floor in the kitchen. She went to the police to report that, and the police said, come back when he hits you. That was one of the examples that we used in the campaign, because clearly that is unacceptable. But at the time, there was nothing that could be done about that. I've had clients where their partners have removed the fuse from the fuse box in the morning when they've left for work, so that their partner can't have any heating or any lighting on in the house, removed all access to bank accounts, will check receipts when they have spent money, will time them when they go to the shop, and then there will be abuse if they are later than the time allotted. They will have to ask for permission when they can go to the toilet, and if that permission isn't given, they will end up having to wet themselves. They will be stopped from sleeping. They will be tracked. All their movements will be tracked online and in reality with trackers on their car or on their phone. And their whole lives quite often are absolutely controlled by the person that's supposed to love them and care for them.
Why do people stay?
The reason they stay is because they have experienced this psychological terrorism of coercive control. This is exactly what the essence of domestic abuse is. The coercive control terrorizes victims. It's very similar behavior and very similar tactics to that used on prisoners of war, for example, and it has a very similar effect on the victim. It does cause PTSD and all sorts of different conditions. So it is this psychological control that means that victims are too scared to leave. And in fact, if you do leave a relationship like this, that is the time when you are most likely to be murdered.
How much does the law understand? I mean, I heard what you say about the law that was passed at the end of 2015. Mm. How much does the law understand in practice about coercive control?
This is the problem, unfortunately. So we have the legislation now, but if we look at the amount of prosecutions, they're still very, very low, unfortunately. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done in terms of training police officers and CPS lawyers and judges and society in general, really, about what coercive control is. And until we have that proper training and proper understanding, then victims won't come forward because they still don't realise it's a criminal offence. And unfortunately, when these cases are dealt with by the criminal justice system, they aren't dealt with very well. So there's still a lot of work to do, and that's something that I hope will change. And the more publicity this issue gets, the more likely that that is to happen.
Rachel, thank you very much. Rachel Horman, Specialist Domestic Abuse Solicitor and Director of Watson Ramsbottom Solicitors, also involved in the Paladin charity.